They say this is the most wonderful time of the year. Why? Because God sent His only begotten Son into the world. He came as a babe in a manger, but ended His life dying on the cross so that your sins and my sins can be forgiven. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, I invite you to repent of your sins and cry out to God for salvation through Jesus Christ.
Welcome to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. And now for today's message, here's Associate Pastor Brian Longworth.
This is the most wonderful time of the year. And the reason this is the most wonderful time of the year is that God sent His only Son to come into the earth, to be born of a virgin, to actually something that had never happened and something that is biologically impossible with man. Yet with God, we know that all things are possible. And as we read last week from Isaiah chapter 7, beginning of verse 14, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." So Jesus was born of a virgin, so that it can be very clear that his father wasn't Joseph, that his father was God Almighty. And just think, if Mary had been like many women in modern time, she couldn't have born Jesus Christ because she wouldn't have been a virgin. But God has gave Mary the power to wait until marriage. And God can give, if you're not married out there, God can give you the power and the strength to wait until marriage as well. Mary was a godly woman that was a virgin and was waiting until marriage for the consummation. And in fact, even after Joseph took Mary to be his wife, the Bible even says that they didn't know each other until after the baby was born. So even more discipline than most couples are even thought to be reasonable, that they actually exercised even greater discipline. And we read also from Isaiah chapter 9. Verses 6 and 7, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord will perform this." And then we looked last week, and we're going to review what we looked at last week and actually go over some new topics from 1 Peter chapter 1, how really this is amazing that prophets of old, from Moses to Isaiah that we just read from, to various other prophets, even in the Psalms, you see prophecies about the Messiah. Isaiah even prophesied that Jesus would be crucified hundreds of years before crucifixion was even invented. And we turn in verse 3 of 1 Peter chapter 1, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." So that's quite a mouthful there, that Jesus, he's blessing God He's blessing the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, according to his abundant mercy, has begotten us. Begotten us is the same word that you would use for a child being born, and a child being conceived. But we have been adopted. We have been begotten. We have been adopted into the family of God by the gift of Jesus Christ, not only coming as a babe in a manger, but also coming to shed his own blood for your sins and for my sins, begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So Jesus was not only crucified, he was also raised from the dead to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away. So this inheritance is not something that's going to diminish or fade away. You might again receive an inheritance from your parents, and you might squander that. You might even receive an inheritance that would, if you receive cash, well, we know what happens with cash, especially today. We know that there's massive inflation. And even before the massive inflation, there was still really what I would consider massive inflation. I mean, just think about, I remember hearing my dad talk about how cheap things used to be. And now I talk about how cheap things used to be. And if you're not old enough to talk about how cheap things used to be, one day you'll be old enough to talk about how cheap things used to be. And in fact, even if you're young, you can look back to what we used to pay for something a few years ago, maybe 2 years ago, and talk about how cheap things used to be. Of course, if you receive a house, that house is going to need maintenance. And if you don't maintain that house, that inheritance, a certain portion of that inheritance fades away. But the gift that we have, the inheritance that we have from God, does not fade away. And it is actually reserved for us in heaven. Those of us who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. So this is something that we see throughout the Bible. We see, first of all, God as the one who saves us. God is the one who keeps us saved. And this is contrary to what a lot of people say, a lot of people believe. But really, the Bible does teach both the sovereignty of God in salvation and also our personal responsibility. And you'll actually see both of those here in this passage. And you see God's sovereignty here keeping us through the power of God, through faith. And that faith is both an act of on our part, but it's also a gift of God, having this faith for salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by the fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Again, we have much to unpack in this, that we have been, that we actually may go through trials. In fact, Jesus said that if we're here in this world, that we're going to have trials, we're going to have tribulation. In fact, when you stand for Jesus Christ, you will at times suffer persecution. You will at times suffer trials. There are some that are going to laugh at you, some that are going to make fun of you. Some there might be some consequences in the corporate work world as well, especially in this day where we have such wokeism that it is become improper to to call a man or a woman, we need to somehow ask the person what they think their pronouns are, rather than proclaiming something that's very obvious, that they are who God created them to be. And so there are times where we're going to experience trials and tribulation and persecution. And why was this happening? Why? Because the genuineness of their faith being much more precious than gold that perishes. So even gold that is pure, even gold that really is lasting, is shown to be something that perishes here. But our faith is much more precious than that. And God cares enough about you to actually send you difficult times at times, to actually send you trials, to send you tribulation, so that your faith can be purified, so that the preciousness of your faith can be purified and can be tested by fire. And it may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So God wants for you to be made more like him and to be purified and to be able to present yourself to him in heaven in a manner that is praiseworthy, that is worthy of honor and glory, not because of your good works, but because of the work of God in you. And it says, whom having not seen, we love. So God, Jesus, whom we haven't seen here on this earth, certainly there were some in the early church, many, many of those in the early church had seen, but Peter here, really, it seems like he's talking to people that hadn't seen Jesus, and we haven't seen Jesus either, but we actually love him nonetheless. Though you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible, full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your soul. So this salvation of our souls is the end of our faith. And our souls are our mind, our will, our emotions, and our feelings. And sometimes we don't feel like serving God. We don't feel like worshiping God. We don't feel like obeying God. But we have to will to do what we know is right to do, even though we don't feel like it. Sometimes our mind can, if we allow it to be, can be the devil's playground. But we need to meditate. Instead of meditating on sin, we need to meditate on righteousness. We need to meditate on the word of God so that God can set us free, so that our mind can be purified, so that we can have the power to resist temptation. Just like Jesus, when he was tempted, he did not resist temptation by doing kung fu or throwing down the devil or smacking him down. He resisted that temptation. He didn't say, hey, I'm big and bad, I'm going to come after you, devil. No, he quoted the word of God. And if Jesus needed to quote the word of God, you will need to quote the word of God as well. You'll need to memorize the word of God. You'll need to hide it in your heart that you might not sin against him, as the Bible tells us in Psalm 119. So this is the end of our salvation, the salvation of our souls. Of this, the prophets have inquired and searched carefully who prophesied of the grace which would come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. So again, Moses and King David and the other psalmists and Isaiah and Samuel and Zechariah and all the other prophets that looked forward, they saw the good news. They saw that God was going to send a Savior. They saw that he would send a child. Isaiah even knew that he would be born of a virgin and also knew how he would die before it was even invented. This was amazing. And Isaiah must have been pondering and being perplexed and saying, how would this happen? But God revealed this through the birth of Jesus, through the life of Jesus, through his death, burial, and resurrection. And it was revealed to them that it wasn't to them that they were being told this, but that this was happening. They were actually ministering the things which they have now been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Spirit, Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels have desired to look into. So we see here that even angels have desired to look into this. And so we actually have a gift that the prophets of old longed to look into and wondered about and pondered about. And angels even wondered about this. You know, we might look at Isaiah and Jeremiah and Moses and honor them and wish we could be like them or even to have lived when they were living. Yet they actually looked forward to us and wondered how great it would be to live in a time where you can actually have Jesus Christ would actually have come to the earth, God himself becoming flesh, coming to the earth to live not just as a babe, but to actually give his own life for the sins of the world, and then to be raised from the dead. And they were longing for this. In verse 13, he says, therefore, gird up the loins of your minds, be sober, and rest your hope fully on the grace that is brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ, as obedient children, not conforming yourself to the former lust as in ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. And so you see here this phrase, gird up the loins of your minds. And you might wonder, well, what in the world is he talking about? Well, Matthew Henry, in his concise commentary, says this: as the traveler, the racer, the warrior, and the laborer gather their long and loose garments that they might be ready in their business, so let Christians do by their minds and affections. And so here we see this idea, and you might even have wondered, you might even have done this if you have maybe loose pants that have a drawstring and you're going to go out and run or jump on a trampoline or do something that requires a lot of up and down activity. Well, you don't want to lose your pants. Maybe even if you're jumping into the water, you don't want to lose your pants like Macaulay Culkin did on Home Alone 2. You don't want to have your pants drop out. You want to actually have that where you're actually able to have your pants stay on you. And so you might use that drawstring to just gird up your loins, that your midsection. So God is saying here that through Paul, the apostle, or Peter, is saying that we are to gird up the loins of our minds. So we're to make sure that things are pulled tight in our minds. We're to be sober and rest our hope fully on the grace that is brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ, as obedient children, not being conformed to the former lust. So we're not to continue in sin like we did before we were Christians. We are to be obedient children. We are to conform ourselves to in obedience to the word of God. And we used to be conformed to lust in ignorance. But as you are called, as he who called you is holy, so you also be holy. And as it is written, be holy, for I am holy. So we see here this concept of being holy, for I am holy. So earlier we talked about this, that God is the one who keeps us in the faith through his power. And so that is talking about God's sovereignty. But here we also are looking at God working in us, but also our discipline, us disciplining ourselves to be holy, even as he is holy. So God is sovereign, and God saves us, and God calls us, and God did the work through Jesus on the cross. But we have an obligation, we have a responsibility to be holy, even as he is holy. And in verse 17, and if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourself throughout this the time of your stay here in fear. It's amazing here. He's talking about our time on earth as our time of stay. You could think if you went on a vacation, people might ask you, well, how long do you plan to stay? If you had reservations, that would indicate how long you plan to stay. Of course, we don't know how long we plan to stay here on this earth. We could die today, which is why we need to have this. We need to be ready to meet our Maker. We need to make sure that our calling and election is sure, and to make sure that we are actually living in the faith and that God's grace is upon us, as the Bible instructs us. But here it tells us that we are to conduct ourselves through the time of your stay, knowing that you were not redeemed by corruptible things like silver and gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers. So we were redeemed not with corruptible things like silver and gold. Now again, silver and gold are viewed as very uncorruptible things. But the Bible here says that compared to the faith that we have in God, compared to his grace, compared to the blood of Jesus and the work that God has done in us through the blood of Jesus, that makes gold and silver look corruptible. We were redeemed from your aimless conduct received by the tradition from your fathers. So the sin that we have lived in the past, that sin, we actually have been redeemed from that sin, this aimless conduct. We have been redeemed from that sin by the preciousness of our faith. But in verse 19, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. So we haven't been redeemed by gold and silver, but by the blood of Jesus Christ, who came, again, not just to be a babe in a manger, but he came to shed his blood for your sins, so that you can repent of your sins, can cry out to him, and can be set free, and can know the goodness of God. And it says here in verse 20, he indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times to you. So before God created the heavens and the earth, God decided to send his Son, Jesus Christ, to this earth. And in fact, the Bible even tells us that while he was on the cross, that he saved a multitude by his knowledge. So I believe that God looked forward to you and saw you, and Jesus on the cross looked forward to you. And as he was hanging there, he realized that he was dying on the cross for your sins, and so that you can repent of your sins and be saved and know him. And so we see here that he was indeed foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him for glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. So our faith and hope, well, can you play, are you going to place your faith and hope in a man? Are you going to place your faith and hope even in a politician, Joe Biden or Donald Trump? Are you going to place your faith in gold and silver or money? Are you going to place your faith in possessions or a business? Or are you going to place your faith in God? And God is calling us to place our faith and hope in God. Since you were purified, you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit and sincere love of the brethren. Love one another in fervently with a pure spirit. So we are to purify our souls. Again, our mind, our will, our emotions, our feelings, we're to purify them. How? By obeying the truth through the Spirit and sincere love of the brethren. So we are to apply the Word of God, that truth, and to use the power of the Holy Spirit to purify our hearts. And in our heart is our mind, our will, and our emotions. And so that we would be born again, not of corruptible seed, but of the incorruptible through the Word of God, which lives and abides in you forever, because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers, and the flower fades away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. So we are like grass, God is saying. You know, we live longer, obviously, than grass, but we know what happens to grass. When we cut it, it falls down, it withers, it dries up, it dies. And one day we will die, and our bodies will wither and dry up and die, and we will actually go back to dust, even as that grass will go back to dust. But we have this great gift from God through Jesus Christ, who came to the earth, not just to be a babe, but to die on the cross for our sins, so that our sins can be forgiven.
You've been listening to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Join us each Sunday morning for The Lighthouse. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, visit www.covenanttabernacle.com, where you can give us feedback and make a donation.
They say this is the most wonderful time of the year. Why? Because God sent His only begotten Son into the world. He came as a babe in a manger, but ended His life dying on the cross so that your sins and my sins can be forgiven. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, I invite you to repent of your sins and cry out to God for salvation through Jesus Christ.
Have you read the book of Zephaniah recently? What about Ecclesiastes or Titus? Well, if these books are a little unfamiliar to you, maybe it's because you've never read or studied the entire Bible. Not many Christians have. But you can go through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee and do it every 5 years. We invite you to join with us in an entertaining and profitable time of studying God's Word right here on this station every weekday.
Join Dr. McGee at 9 a.m. and p.m. right here on the Good News Station WCNO.
Tune in to Torah Life Ministries with Paul Neeson, airing daily Monday through Friday at 6:30 a.m. and p.m., and also heard each Saturday at 12 noon.
What are the key elements to being a Christian?
Well, you may not be dead physically, but according to the Word of God, until Jesus Christ comes into your life, you are dead spiritually.
Dr. David Jeremiah gives us insight into basics of the Christian faith. Next time on Turning Point.
Listen to Turning Point at 12:30 p.m. Monday through Friday on the Good News Station WCNO.